chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. I thought about just starting in the book of Galatians and reading for an hour and see how far I got and just let y'all listen along, but I decided better. I'm not going to do that. I won't put y'all to sleep or anything like that. I'm just playing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of peace, a God of love and peace, shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God we've read tonight. And I pray as we look at these few verses tonight that you'd challenge our hearts and encourage us, strengthen us through your word. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to say some obvious things tonight, I think, that if I were to just say these things out loud in conversation, you would agree with them. However, the real trick or the real measure of your agreement with these words that I'm going to speak tonight and that I'm going to preach from tonight has to do more with what do you do when we're not talking about it. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. He says this in verse 4. He says, for though he, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Now, the context here is he's trying to get them to deal with the problems that he's been addressing during this time. And he's telling them that, he said, if I have to come back there a third time, I'm not going to spare. I'm going to be straightforward, I'm going to call people on the carpet. I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to, you're going to find out that since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, but which to you word is not weak, but is mighty to you. If you want to find out whether or not I'm speaking for God, you're going to find out. And he says in verse 10, he says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, not to destruction. So he says, when I come this third time, it's not going to be pretty. If you don't deal with these things now, he's telling them, he said, I told you before in verse 2, and foretell you as if I were present the second time, being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. All right, so he tells them that. And he says that these people that have sinned, and these people that have tolerated the sin, and all the things that's going to happen, when I come, I'm not going to spare. And he says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty. But look at verse 4 and 5. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then he tells them to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith, to prove them their own selves. And he said, know ye not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now there he's obviously talking about Christ being in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you being saved. He's talking about saved. So the proper context about that is he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And he's talking specifically having to do with salvation. He's saying, you people are looking at this, you're living this way, and we're having to deal with these things over and over again. Are you even saved? You need to make sure you're saved. But you know, sometimes the Bible does make it clear that you can be in Christ but not walking with God, right? We're warned about walking after the flesh. We're warned about being carnal. We're warned about those things. And so I got to thinking about that, and while Paul is dealing with them, there's the reality of are you saved or are you not? And then there's also the reality of are you living like you're saved or are you not? And to live like you're saved, we have to live not by our strength, because we have to acknowledge we're weak, but we have to live by the power of God. Just as Christ died, he was weak in the flesh, he took upon human flesh, even though he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant, right? Philippians chapter 2, right? He was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so he took on mortality, the immortal took on mortality. He became weak. He became a man. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He was born in the stable, right? As a babe. totally dependent on somebody to feed him. Then he lived his life, and even as a man, even though he could call for 12,000 legions of angels, he didn't do it. He went and suffered. He was crucified through weakness. Not moral weakness, but physical weakness. And we have to understand that we are indeed physically weak, which is why we need the power of God. He lives by the power of God. His body was resurrected by the power of God. And that is the way we're supposed to live. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the whole point. So this is why I'm saying to you what I'm going to say to you as we sit here and speak. You would readily agree with it. I don't think anybody would disagree with anything that's been said this far. But the question is, where is the practice of it? Are you falling short of the practice of it? Are you living by the power of God? The power of God is the power to change, is it not? The power of God is the power to have victory, is it not? I mean, the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. He said, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that liveth in you. Christ was died in weakness. But that power took a man whose body was dead for 3 days and three nights and raised it up. That power is the same power that we work with. It's the same power. And I understand that the flesh is weak. Probably why Jesus said, watch, told his disciples, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. While they were sitting there and he was in an agony and he was sweating blood, they were sleeping. At some point, we have to get to the point where we look at this and we say, hey, Christ was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, and we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. That power is available to us now. And I understand, we talk about the physical resurrection and the change of our body and having a new body fashioned like in his glorious body. We're understanding that. But he's telling them in context about this, he's telling them that of the power of God that he has to do the will of God, what God called him to do, right? Yeah. He tells them, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Right? And he says, I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me unto edification and not to destruction. If you go over to Colossians chapter 1, he says, He says in verse 25, he says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." After he tells them that we are weak in him, but we should live with him by the power of God toward you, he tells them, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Would you agree with me that a Christian is supposed to live by the power of God? Amen. Would you agree with me that there is a way to live in which the power of God is available? The grace of God, that a life can change, that not only can we change from our past, but even after years and years and years of being saved and being a Christian, we can still change for the better. We can still grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? We're never done. "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till when? Till the day of Jesus Christ," right? So often we get ourselves, and this is what happens, and this is why churches are empty, and this is why ministries go unfulfilled, and this is why we don't see the power of God, because people don't live by the power of God. And part of our faith is that we have the power of God available to us. Now, how do we access that? Well, obviously, the first thing is going to be faith, right? Believe. You need to be saved, first of all. That's the starting point of faith. You have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the shed blood of Christ, faith in His death, His burial, His resurrection, that Christ paid the penalty, and faith that when you call on Him, He kept His word and He saved you. So you have to be saved. So you can be. You have to have faith. And you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be indwelt by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12. "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And so you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the Spirit that works in our life. Even to the point of helping us to pray, even when we don't know what we're to pray for. "The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." It's always kind of made me laugh when people that teach you have to be able to pray in tongues to be, quote, in the Holy Ghost and everything like that. To pray in the Spirit, you have to pray in tongues. How is it that the Spirit makes intercession for us? These groanings can't be uttered. That means you don't have a word for it. And you can't speak. They're groanings that can't be uttered. If your tongue is flapping, you're uttering something. It doesn't make any sense. But it does make it convenient for people to give up, I guess, on the power of God. But we're supposed to have a faith that is based upon that. So when he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith," we know the context. He says, "Prove your own selves." Well, how are they going to... He says, "Know ye not your own selves, that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." If you know that Christ is in you, how is it that we can't believe that the power of God is available for us? At what point Did Christ abandon you after he saved you to where the power of God was not available? At what point? If you and I look at that and we start saying, well, I'm gone as far as I can. I can't grow anymore. I can't do it. I'm just staying right here and everything like that. There's no hope for me. Until Jesus comes, this is the best I've got. This is all that's going to be. If that's the way we believe, are we in the faith? Nope. We're not in the faith, are we? And I understand we have weaknesses in the flesh. But we already know that, don't we? We all have weaknesses. We all have limitations. By the way, that's why we need the power of God. And the power of God is not manifest in a dog and pony show. It's manifested by an internal change. Are you still changing on the inside? Is God still working? And I will say this, a lot of times when we talk about backsliding, did you know that it takes power to maintain something? Just use a little common sense and use a little simple thing like that. If you have something that is going against the tide, you have a boat that's running in the water, right? And it's headed upstream. It's headed against the nature of the river. The nature of the rivers flow downstream, flow to the sea, right? And it's headed upstream. That boat's headed upstream. You have to have power to maintain your position. Not just to advance, but to maintain that position. And we have to fight against the world and the flesh. And so many times, what happens to people? They go backwards. Why do we go backwards? Because we're not depending upon the power of God. That's just the truth. If your power was sufficient to maintain, you would have already maintained. You would have already been there. And call, you know, we're told in the book of Hebrews, if you want to turn over there real quick, in the book of Hebrews, he's telling them about their decision for Christ. I'm trying to remember, I think it's in 13. Or maybe in chapter 10. I think it's in chapter 10. He says, yep, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and he says in verse 32, he says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Once again, context there being about being saved, but still the principle applies. The idea of you and I have to have, we don't want to cast away our confidence. When you got saved and you got a victory over sin, you lived your life and now you got to a point where you're falling back into things you know you ought not to be into or doing or whatever. And then you get there and you never really realize that the power of God is there. If it got you up to that point to where at one time you had the victory over this particular sin or whatever it may be, then guess what? It's still available to give you the victory. Just because you failed and you didn't rely on God's power doesn't mean He failed. I remember when I first gave up tobacco, I got saved. And I got convicted in my heart about tobacco. Of course, I didn't smoke. I dipped snuff, right? And I got convicted about tobacco, and so I threw it away. And you know, the amazing thing about it is I didn't have a problem with it. I did not have a problem with it. I didn't have cravings. I didn't have anything. It was just a thing. The only thing, you know, the thing about it was I kind of missed it because I actually enjoyed it. It wasn't just the addiction to it. I actually enjoyed it. And so, you know, sometimes I was like, you know, I kind of enjoyed it, but it wasn't something that I was craving or anything like that. Well, then I got hold of some bad teaching. You know, everything in moderation. You don't sin in moderation. And God had dealt with my heart. And whether you thought tobacco was right or wrong, God had already dealt with my heart about it. It needed to go. But I got some bad teaching and everything like that. And so as a young Christian, I played around with it. I'd sit there and I'd go out and buy stupid, you know, just wanting to prove that I'd go out and buy some snuff and I'd take some of it and then I'd throw the rest of the can away. I was smart. I was an idiot. Well, then I did get addicted to it. God began to deal with my heart. He had to humble me. Now, I'm told the story of how God humbled me with that. And He did. He humbled me. And it was a whole lot harder to quit the second time. But you know what? The power of God was sufficient to get it done the first time and the second time. We live by the power of God. Yes, we're weak, but we live by the power of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, this opportunity. We just pray, Lord, You would bless each one with understanding. Lord, I don't know what's in any person's heart, only You do and they do. But if there is any place where we're not living by the power of God, would You make that known to us very clearly? Would You work in our hearts, help us to hear? But above all, help us to believe, we pray. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.